Grace be unto you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the third chapter of the book of Daniel, beginning with the 24th verse. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see four men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of these men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Life is a paradox. Jesus once summed this up this way: whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will find it. When we cling to life, we lose it. When we let go of it and trust in God, we find it. Clench it in your fist, and it'll crumble between your fingers. Open your hand and let it go, and it'll grow tenfold. We then meditate and reflect on this theme. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The first reason is because his servants trusted in him and set aside the king's command. One of the central themes in the book of Daniel is don't compromise with the gods of the nations. Now, this was a great temptation for the Jewish exiles in Babylon. For the consensus was that the gods of the Babylonians had crushed the God of Israel. As a result, the pressure to embrace the gods of Babylon was palpable. The three friends of Daniel mentioned in our text understood this more than most. They were taken as hostages to serve among Nebuchadnezzar's wise men. They were forced to learn the Babylonian language, literature, and culture. But as their commitment to God was increasingly challenged, the friends endured the test, and God strengthened them in the process. For when ordered to break God's dietary laws, they proved that they could serve the king better by keeping them. When the wise men were threatened with execution because their leaders could not interpret the king's dream, they did not doubt and despair. Rather, Daniel went to God in prayer, and God interpreted the dream for them. in our text for today, the king decreed that any official who refused to worship his golden idol would be burned alive in a blazing furnace. Once again, Daniel's friend's faith proved heroic, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't even let flames separate themselves from their God. And when Nebuchadnezzar boasted that no God could save them from his hand, they confessed, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." But if God wants us to demonstrate such ironclad faith, why is it that our faith often comes up short? Why is it that we are afraid to stand up for the things that we believe in when it costs us so much less? Daniel's friends had such great confidence because they did not flee God's efforts to temper their faith. For they meditated on God's word 3 times a day so that it would slowly transform them. Most of us, conversely, find it hard to pay attention in chapel just once a day. They set their hearts on wisdom and humbled themselves before their God. We tend to find knowledge and status among our peers much more to our liking. They didn't cling to the things of this world. We not only repeatedly fall into this trap, but we can't keep ourselves from shopping for more things to accumulate in our lives and to cling on to. They recognized that each cross that God put before their path was making them more resilient. Whereas we often lash out at God and complain whenever he puts a cross before our path. Oh, that we made these words of St. Paul our own. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The second reason for praising God is because he sent his angel to deliver his servants. The Aramaic word for angel here in our text actually means messenger. It can refer to human heralds, angels, or the angel of the Lord, that is, Jesus Christ. Now, since Nebuchadnezzar says that their deliverer was like a son of the gods, many of the church fathers assumed that this was Jesus Christ. However, St. Jerome raises an interesting question. Can we really expect a pagan king, an unbelieving king, who at best recognized God just as one of the many gods around, to recognize Jesus Christ? Besides, the word son of the gods was often used even by pagans as an expression for their polytheistic deities. Thus, the rabbis and other church fathers thought this must have been an angel. In fact, some of the rabbis assumed that this must have been Gabriel, because he comes up later on in the book of Daniel. Regardless if these friends were miraculously delivered from the earthly peril or not, they trusted that they would be resurrected on the last day. They believed that their guardian angels would transport them to eternal life because of the promised redemption of the angel of the Lord. For in the fullness of time, our Lord Jesus Christ willingly went into exile to deliver us the greatest message ever told. That message not only brought down all the rage and fury of the religious leaders upon him, it brought down the rage of the devil himself. Still, his confidence in God's plan was unshakable. Even though there was hell to pay, Christ passed through the flames of hell to make that message a reality for us all. In fact, it doesn't matter if we only have the mustard seed of faith or the heroic faith of Daniel's friends, because we have been made fireproof by Christ. Thus, there is no reason to doubt, because we have all become hell retardant in Christ. Or as the prophet Isaiah writes, when you walk through fire, you will not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Isn't it interesting, though, that God didn't just preserve the faith of the three friends? He also preserved their bodies. You see, if Jesus Christ loved us so much to do the greater thing, that is, to save us from the fires of hell, how much more so won't he also do the little thing, that is, save us from the fires of this world? Now, this doesn't mean that God will never allow us to suffer any harm. In fact, some harm is often necessary to temper our faith. But what it does mean is that God will never allow us to suffer any harm that puts our faith in jeopardy. In fact, God is so concerned about our personal well-being that he doesn't just have only one angel looking out for us. We are told he has many. In fact, Jesus even says of the little children, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Now, obviously, an all-powerful God doesn't need angels, but he sends them to watch over us anyway, because he wants us to be absolutely confident that he has our back. With a God like this, it's not surprising that Daniel's friends had such a heroic faith. But you know what? God wants to give that same measure of faith to each and every one of us here today. So let the word of God dwell in you richly. Seek after wisdom and practice humility. Let go of the things in this life. Then you too will find calm and stillness in the storm. Then you too can say with St. Paul, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Amen. Congregation may rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us pray. O everlasting God, you have ordained and constituted the services of angels and men in a wonderful order. Mercifully grant that as your holy angels always serve you in heaven, so by your appointment they may also help and defend us here on earth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.